Kent Online News.
News you can trust.
This is the Kent Online Podcast. Nicola Everett.
Hello, hope you're okay. Thanks ever so much for downloading today's podcast. It's Wednesday, August the 14th, and our top story today is that a violent burglary at a home in Sevenoaks is being linked to the so-called Night Watcher. A woman was attacked and £1.8 million worth of jewellery was taken from a property near Wilderness Golf Club in broad daylight in June. 50 items were stolen, including rings, watches and pendants. It's being linked to a burglar known as the Night Watcher, who police have been hunting since 2006. CCTV released last month showed a man on a train wearing a mask and distinctive red-soled trainers. Well, Mark Hallis is from Crime Stoppers, who are offering a £10,000 reward for information that leads to a conviction. Mark has been chatting to Lucy.
This is a particularly shocking case where on the 21st of June this year, there was a very serious aggravated burglary where a 63-year-old woman in Sevenoaks was essentially accosted from behind as she was entering her house, bundled in, tied up, and made to let her attacker, got out of the location of £1.8 million worth of jewellery and watches. So, and then later on that day, I think her husband got back and she was still sort of tied up. So quite a traumatic event. Well, not quite a traumatic event. A very traumatic event to have taken place.
Yeah, that's so shocking. I mean, have you spoken to the victim at all? Do you know, how she's feeling now?
No, but I think that I understand from the lead detective on the case that clearly she's been very shaken up, and obviously her husband as well. And I think it's one of the things about any kind of burglary, let alone one that's got very many aggravated elements to it. It's the fact that it's an invasion of your own privacy, let alone the physical threat, that is particularly disturbing. And apparently she is, I think, as to be expected, in shock about everything. That's part of the reason, actually, that we're so keen to sort of help on this case, with the reward that we're offering, because any kind of victim's sort of journey is helped by the criminal, the assailant, being captured and made to pay for his crimes.
And talk me through what was stolen in this incident.
All that's been revealed at the moment is that it's been a collection of very valuable high-end jewellery and watches as well, but there's been no more detail of that. But I also understand from the individual that a number of them have had significant sentimental value as well, which is also, very disturbing.
And I understand there's a possible connection to the person known as the Night Watcher. Do you know any more about that? Or could you just talk us through, for people who haven't heard of that, who is that and what's their possible link to this case?
Yeah, the Night Watcher, it's not something that happens on a regular basis, but there are believed to have been a significant number of similar incidents that have taken place in the sort of Kent, Sussex, Surrey, Berkshire area over the last 18 years, where it looks to have been sort of, dare I say, very professionally done, where, individuals have been sort of, paced up, as it were, and then have been, exploited in the same kind of manner. Sometimes something happens and then not much for another year or two. But apparently going back all the way 18 years that this kind of event has been happening. And there are so similar, the types of burglaries that have taken place, that there's a strong belief that they are connected.
And that's quite a frightening thought, isn't it? That someone out there is getting away with this and potentially will strike again.
Yes, and I think the fact that he's carried it out over a protracted period of time and has struck again just recently indicates that, it could easily happen again. And I think that indicates why it's more important than ever to be able to catch this individual. I mean, I think one of the big advantages this time around is the police issued some very, reasonable high-quality stills with the individual regarding his potential movements after he'd committed the offence. And albeit he was wearing a small face mask, like we always used to wear in COVID. He's quite distinctive, and obviously those are up online and on the police website. And just hopefully that should spark somebody to be able to identify that individual and pass that information on.
Now, any witnesses are being urged to contact Crime Stoppers on 0800 555 111. That's 0800 555 111.
Kent Online News.
A teenager has been arrested in Margate after a group of young people reportedly attacked a high street worker and damaged a police car. Officers were called to a disturbance on Monday evening. A 16-year-old boy from London was detained and a dispersal order has been put in place. Investigations are underway following an alleged sex attack in Tenterden. It happened near Burgess Drive just after 9:30 on Saturday night. A woman was reportedly approached by three men, one of whom carried out the assault. Police are very keen to speak to any witnesses. A burglar who broke into a Chatham home and threatened the people inside with a knife has been sent to prison. Roger Dimitri from Bexley Heath was part of a group which targeted the house in Luton Road last September. The 20-year-old, who lives in May Place Road East, has been locked up for 7.5 years. Now, there's been a huge emergency response in Gillingham after a bus crashed into scaffolding. A car was also involved in the collision at a new build site on Jeffrey Street in the town centre yesterday evening. This man saw the aftermath.
My mum called me because we just live right opposite, and she basically said to us, called me up, sent a video, and she said, oh, there's been a crash outside again. I was at work, and then, yeah, I had to come all the other way and everything like that, and yeah, discovered that this was going on.
Police, paramedics and firefighters were called to make the scene safe. You can see pictures and video by heading to Kent Online.
Kent Online reports.
Next today, former EastEnders star Sean Williamson has thrown his support behind two Kent nurseries that are on the brink of closure. Kent County Council has opened a consultation on the future of Millmead in Margate and Seashells in Sheerness as they look to make drastic funding cuts. Well, Sean, who's also known as Barry to millions of TV viewers, says savings shouldn't be made on childcare.
I'm afraid I've got some very bad news tonight. There are two children's centres in Kent, Millmead in Margate and Seashells in Sheerness, that are at risk of having their funds withdrawn by the KCC. Now, these places do an amazing work for the local community. I mean, Millmead alone has a 65-place nursery, all sorts of things going on down there, and obviously with that and job losses, it would be absolutely awful. I mean, it is the loss of a vital community hub. One person called it the heartbeat of the community, so we're very keen that the KCC don't withdraw their funds. Now, there is an online consultation until the 22nd of September 2024 where you can have your say to the KCC about this decision. Okay, obviously, if you've never heard of them, look up Millmead, look up Seashells. They do brilliant work. We know that councils have to cut funds every now and again, but to cut children's services in what are basically poor areas, I don't think so, personally. But have a look, see what you think, and if you agree with me and many other people, there is an online consultation period, like I said, to the 22nd of September. I'm going to unashamedly read this. If you Google letstalk.kent.gov.uk/Family Hub Services, Seashells and Millmead. Okay, I'll say it again. letstalk.kent.gov.uk/Family Hub Services, Seashells and Millmead. That's until the 22nd of September. Please have your say, and hopefully we can keep these places open for these local communities. Thank you for your time. Cheers.
Anyone wanting to have a say on the consultation has until September the 22nd. If you follow Kent Online on socials or head to the website, you can see video of an ice cream man banned from a Whitstable holiday park involved in a standoff with security staff. Bosses at the Seaview Holiday Park used a van and a tractor to block Sally Caddy from entering. They say he's been caught behaving aggressively in the past and isn't an authorised supplier, where the ice cream seller says he's been trading there for years without a problem. Residents have criticised a decision to paint yellow lines in Kings Hill to tackle parking problems. The roads are currently free of them, but council bosses say it's causing issues for residents, deliveries and emergency vehicles. More than 300 people spoke out against the idea in a recent consultation, with concerns it'll have a negative impact on the area's character. A pub in Folkestone's been forced to close for a night after a customer was nearly hit by falling debris. Some of the ceiling started crumbling away at the Samuel Petto Wetherspoon on Monday. Bosses say it's been inspected by an expert and the pub has now reopened.
Kent Online reports.
This is one of our most read stories on the website today. A former Michelin star restaurant in Faversham is closing after 47 years. Well, Kate joins me now with more on this story. So, Kate, what's the name of the restaurant?
Well, it's called Reed's and is based in Macnaid Manor off Canterbury Road. It initially opened in Painter's Forestall in 1977 before moving to its current venue in 2000. Rona and David Pitchford are the owners, and during their 47 years in charge, it's won a number of accolades, including a Michelin star that it held for 20 years from 1993.
So why have they decided to close?
Well, the couple say Father Time has caught up with them, but they admit they've taken the decision with a hint of trepidation. They've gone on to tell Kent Online how they've been blessed with the most wonderful and unbelievably loyal staff over the years. The restaurant is due to close for the final time at the end of the month.
And finally, what about the property, Kate?
Well, you can see pictures of it at Kent Online, and it sits within almost 3 acres of park-like gardens. Permission for 17 extra bedrooms was granted in 2022, but the couple say they have no intention of pushing forward with the development and instead plan to maintain the property. They plan to live there and enjoy it.
Kate, thank you ever so much.
Kent Online News.
A supermarket cafe in Sheerness is facing a backlash after bosses decided to go cashless. The Tesco in Bridge Road has been recently revamped and now also includes touchscreen kiosks for ordering and paying. The company says the new setup will reduce queue times. If you follow us on socials, you can see pictures of mounds of rubbish that have piled up at one of Kent's most popular beaches. Hundreds of people have made their way to Botany Bay in Broadstairs to make most of the recent warm weather, but the extra cars have blocked bin lorries and collections. The local council has been accused of being lazy and inept when it comes to the cleanup. Now, we've been hearing from the RSPCA Centre in Leybourne, which says it's at breaking point as animals are arriving faster than they leave. The charity is having to pay for 55 pets in Kent to stay in private boarding because the centre's so full. Karen Coleman is head of the logistics and networking team.
Since COVID, when the number of animals across the UK went up significantly, and then the financial crisis hit. So lots of people are struggling with their animals, struggling to keep their animals, and are either abandoning or looking to rehome their animals. So that puts a lot of pressure on the RSPCA, a lot of pressure on all rehoming organisations. So what we have is we have a number of national animal centres and branches that are full of animals. And we also have an overflow really into private boarding establishments where animals are waiting to come into our centres.
These private centres, is there a cost associated with keeping animals there? Is the RSPCA having to pay to keep them housed?
Yeah, it's hugely expensive to board these animals. It's costing us about £500,000 a month. So that's sort of £6 million a year to board the animals. And that's just in private boarding, not even when they get into our national centres or our branches. So it's a huge amount of money. But there are so many vulnerable animals out there that it's so difficult to turn them away.
Would you happen to have any figures for that?
Yeah, so we've got one national animal centre, which is called Leybourne in Kent, and we've got 8 branches, and all of those are full at the moment. And there are 55 animals in private boarding establishments in Kent waiting to come into our centres.
Just broadly, we've already touched on sort of people taking on animals during COVID and then the cost of living crisis. Are there any other factors that have seen us get to this crisis point?
Yeah, I think COVID has probably been the biggest impact, to be fair, because we did see almost 4 million additional animals across the UK, which is huge. Financial crisis has made it very difficult for people. And if they've had to move, perhaps they've had to give up their animals or look for new homes for them. And that's really quite difficult. And then we have the XL bully. The changes in the legislation has made it very difficult for some people who find that they have a particular breed that they are no longer legally able to keep. And that's put additional pressure on rescues where these dogs have been passed to us. And of course, we can't rehome them.
So on a community level, I understand that one of the things that we can be doing to ease the pressure on rehoming centres is to look at adopting an animal rather than going out to the shops and buying a or from a breeder and buying a new animal. Is that right?
Yeah, what we're asking is that if people are in a position to take on a pet and only take on, you know, responsible ownership, as long as you can take on and can commit to an animal, then think about adopting from a rescue centre, obviously from the RSPCA or from another local rescue centre, rather than buying. These animals deserve a second chance. They deserve a new home, and they give an awful lot of love. And some of them have been through some really difficult times. So it'd be lovely if we could get them all into new homes. And if you can't rehome an animal, you can't adopt, then think about donating to the RSPCA or to another animal charity, or even volunteering your time. Come and walk some of the dogs for us. Come and help us look after them while they are in these facilities.
Across the country, private boarding is costing the RSPCA around £500,000 every month. Plans for a new cafe in East Peckham have been rejected over a lack of parking. Developers wanted to demolish the former Pam's Pantry on Pound Road. Council bosses say the parking provision was not compliant with policy. More than 300 people have signed a petition urging Dover District Council to introduce 1 hour of free parking at all of their car parks. It's hoped it'll encourage more visitors, bringing a boost to businesses in the area. The campaign will be debated if it reaches 1,600 signatures. And after days of incredibly high temperatures across Kent, a heat health warning for the county has now been lifted. Monday was Kent's hottest day of the year so far, with 33.2 degrees recorded at the Met Office station in Faversham. Temperatures for the rest of the week are expected to be in the low to mid 20s.
Kent Online Sports.
Football Now and Gillingham have been knocked out in the first round of the Carabao Cup. They lost 3-1 to Championship side Swansea City after going down to 10 men when Ewan Williams was sent off early in the second half. Gill's manager Mark Bonner says it was a tough match. We spoke to him after the final whistle.
I thought the game was as tough as we expected it to be, and it only got harder really with the sending off. So yeah, I think we knew tonight we were always going to play against a team that dominate the ball. And therefore, our defensive work had to be brilliant. We had to be very patient to not go chasing after them. But we were a bit too respectful in the early stages of the game, where we had moments to stop them, trap them, put a glove on them, win the ball back. And we probably didn't do that enough. And then I thought we grew into the first half a little bit and started to play a little bit more. But our periods with the ball were too sporadic, really, and we never had... spells that, you know, one move or one moment didn't lead to a spell, and you have to kill those moments when you get them. You've got to make them work for you. We only had a couple of attempts really in the first half. So yeah, as tough as we thought it would be, and then obviously we tried to fix one or two things at half time. Looking forward to a couple of changes and seeing the impact that might have, and obviously the sending off happens really soon. So at that point, probably the worst team we could have had that happen against. And then the second half was very, very long, and the scoreboard and the timer was going very slowly. Somehow we stayed in it, and somehow obviously scored towards the end, and nearly had a chance to take it to a penalty shootout, which would have been mental. Unfortunately, it was just hanging on, though. You know, we didn't really stop them creating moments. They had some good chances there. I thought our intensity in our defending, we struggled in full-back areas of them running beyond us, through us, creating situations. But I think that's to be expected a little bit. Moments where you might get control in restart situations we didn't use so well tonight. But we make loads of changes, and lots of boys are playing for the first time, big minutes since... For us, I don't know, Dartford, Southampton, quite a while ago now. It's really, really difficult. And yeah, it was a tough evening for us. So one to move on from really quickly, but not forget, because there's lots of lessons in there for individuals to learn, but also for us to just see what really good looks like.
The Gills are back in League Two action this weekend as they travel to take on Morecambe. And in cricket, Kent are playing Northamptonshire in their final one-day game of the season today. The Spitfires will be hoping for a positive end to the campaign after a mixed set of results. Play is taking place at Canterbury. That's all from us for today. Thanks ever so much for listening. Don't forget, you can follow us on Facebook, X, Instagram, TikTok and Threads. You can also get details on the top stories direct to your email each morning via the briefing. To sign up to that, you just need to head to kentonline.co.uk.
News you can trust.
This is the Kent Online Podcast.